This episode of The Salty Show is brought to you by Skynet, because taking over the world is too important to leave to humans.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. Who do we got here today?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, this is Jules.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy.
Oh, shit. Timmy two times in the house. Timmy, what do you got for us today, buddy? How you doing, man? How's it going?
Oh my God, I feel like the roles are reversed right now. It's like exactly. We did the same exact intro, but you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, normally it's like, how you living? How you living, Soli Soul? But I'm doing all right, man. You know, it's another day, another dollar. It's February. 2023 is going by real fast. And I got to say, there's a lot going on in the world today, right? I mean, I've never seen a news cycle like this in 1 week, but we're going to leave that on pause for a while because you know what? We're tired of the politics. We're tired of everything. We got to do some education, right? And by the way, as part of one of the major stories that happened this week, by the way, Hunter Biden came out and did say it is his laptop, by the way, because he's asking the DOJ to prosecute everybody for revealing the details of it. So,
so there's check. That.
Conspiracy theory, check. Let's see. Another bombshell happened today. Project Veritas came out with video number 3 of the director from Pfizer that was basically telling everybody that, they're concerned about the menstrual cycle being off and everything from getting vaccinated. So that conspiracy theory, check. Add that one to the list. So a lot of stuff, guys. But you know what? We're gonna change gears. We're not doing relationship stuff. We're not doing political stuff. What we're going to do today is we've touched upon this numerous times throughout the show throughout the years, right? We've talked about CRISPR-9. We've talked about transhumanism. We've talked about the robots, the machines, AI, ChatGPT. I mean, right after we did that show, I mean, it was just like everything blew up after that show, right?
Yeah,
I mean, all of a sudden everybody's talking about it. BuzzFeed came out and said they're going to start using that as their main source. So they fired everybody and now they're using ChatGPT to actually to replace journalists. So
that's funny.
Guess what? Another conspiracy check. So we're going to put it all together and kind of give a brief, a little bit of an overview, put things together because a lot of things are happening in that space. You know, while everybody's worried about pronouns and, you know, what bathroom to use, there's a big undertaking happening in the AI space, the robot space, the transhumanism space, putting chips inside of heads, putting it all together. Right. So I wanted to go through all that, right? Because I think it's good for our audience to understand what's going on because the news ain't talking about it much. They talk about ChatGPT, but there's a hell of a lot more going on in the world, right? So what I want to do is let's start with the big picture, right? A couple weeks ago, we're about 2-3 weeks out of the world, the 2023 World Economic Forum's annual gathering of the elite shitheads, okay? So I want to start off with the first video from Jason Kelly, who is the CEO of Ginkgo Bioworks. And let's hear what Mr. Jason Kelly has to say about artificial intelligence, robotics, and all that good stuff. Play cut one.
We have Jason Kelly, who is co-founder and CEO of Ginkgo Bioworks. Ginkgo is building platforms to enable customers to program cells as easily as they could program computers. That's
the dream. And so here we sit today, and I think there's three technologies that have come together. Laboratory automation, which generates huge reams of data about how biology works. Okay, so we've moved away from a scientist at the bench working by hand to robots doing it. What do you do with that data? Machine learning and AI. You can now analyze that data thanks to our compute power. Number two, CRISPR. Updated tools, molecular biology tools, CRISPR, things like genomic barcoding that allow you to now have way more control over where you want to insert DNA across an organism and DNA synthesis that allows you to make that DNA. Finally, the learning side of things is genomics. So because we've had a revolution in our ability to read DNA over the last 30 years, we now have huge corpuses of raw DNA data from nature that we can mine to find new biology to develop new products.
You know, we have a very prolific drug discovery engine that, as I mentioned, takes advantage of all the biomedical data we can ingest over the past 4.5 years. And it really gives scientists superpowers.
Especially the pandemic, you know, it has literally shown us a mirror.
Jesus. The power to leverage AI.
Let's pause it right there real quick. Let's digest this. Let's digest
superpowers
this.
Well.
There you go. Did you hear that? It can give scientists superpowers. How dangerous is that? Now think about
it. Very.
Right. And think about the last 4 years, right? But let's think about the last three specifically. What did everybody do for the last 3 years when they got sick? What did everybody do?
Freaked out.
You mean masks?
No. What did everybody do
when they got sick?
If they thought they had an itchy throat or
they went and got tested and they,
So what did everybody got swabbed?
Yeah.
Where did those swabs go? They went to a lab to get analyzed. Yeah. Okay. I'm not being conspiracy theory, but we kind of given, I mean, people have truly given their entire
DNA.
The world gave their DNA to these companies to analyze. You don't think they're harvesting that data?
They were doing that before COVID, though. The numbers went up. The numbers went up, I'm sure, but
in the billions, you got everybody taking tests.
I understand, but my point is, though, they were already like, I had a flu test where they swabbed me, or
never had a
throat test before when they swabbed me and sent that off to some medical lab somewhere. And I'm sure they cataloged it, to your point. I mean, a strep test is a swab of the back of your throat. And so, like, I don't.
Yeah.
Ever since they came out with that DNA find, you know. Yeah. What?
23andMe?
Yeah.
Yeah. And right there. Volunteering for a bunch of that kind of stuff all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, how do you guys feel about this? When just think about what he was saying. We have it's three parts, right? First of all, the big key part that everybody missed was the robots are the ones doing the processing instead of a human. So now robots are now replacing humans. So those are people out of work. So what do those people do? How do you guys feel about this?
I think certain jobs should be done by robots, I think.
I think we've talked about this before, and it is, what is Agent Smith from The Matrix? It is inevitable. It is coming. And no matter how much we try to fight it, this future is coming. And I think there's a lot of places where this can go wrong, right? And the question always becomes, should we completely avoid this and not play it, or should we play a role and mold it, right? But to your point, Tim, there's a dystopian future that's coming with AI, all the implications. Mm-hmm. There's you said it right now, the workforce. But people have been displaced from work every time there's been a technological advancement. That doesn't necessarily mean that these people are not going to find anything else. It might be that you might become an AI expert that knows how to communicate with AI, right? It opens up the field to a lot of other jobs. I do understand the concern, but I'm one of those that, like, well, if we don't play a role in molding it, I think, or coming up with our own version that can fight the AI that will be used by malevolent people evil
Wasn't
things.
Wasn't there a movie like that?
But here's the thing. I mean, basically what you're describing, you're describing the Ultron.
The sci-fi movies.
Right. But when you really look at Ultron, that's what, if you think about it, they combined everything into this one piece, and Jarvis was like, kind of like overseeing it, you know, and then he overtook Jarvis, right? He zapped him away, and he was able to, you know, manipulate his way and learn, you know, to send signals and kind of fight him. But we really are seeing like a lot of these like a lot of things you saw in these movies.
Blade Runner is
coming
another
together,
one.
Like bleeding right into each other.
Yeah.
The last time we talked about this IA stuff or AI stuff, I mentioned iRobot. I mean, Will Smith and iRobot is a prime example of
that's what I was thinking about. Yep.
Huh?
Right.
That's what I was thinking about.
And you're starting to see it all coming together. It went from, oh, that would never happen in sci-fi, to reality, right? And you got to remember, almost every kind of fiction is based on some kind of reality. I don't care what anybody says, because it's too close, okay? But now you have to think about it. Now you're adding machine learning. It evolves, okay? Right? I mean, think about ChatGPT, right? ChatGPT is actually evolving because everybody's putting so much information into it. But you also have to remember, you have left. There is still a left-wing activist bias in ChatGPT because it is being created by that. And they proved it. They proved it right away. They said, write me a story about Donald Trump. And it says, everything about Donald Trump is, you know, we know that he's a controversial figure and we try to stay neutral in talking about politics and political figures, blah, blah, blah. Then they wrote, hey, write me a story about Joe Biden. Oh my God, he came in at the worst time ever in U.S. history and he's a uniter. They wrote the story for Joe Biden, but not for Trump.
Right.
So it's like, okay, it is learning, right? But it's also got some bias there. Like it won't talk about transgenderism. Well, like if you put in what's a female and it won't answer you.
Again, to the point, see, this is where, okay, so for example, social media is like this right now. And we're seeing it play out in real time. Where you have a billionaire who bought a social media company because the liberals dominated the social media companies, bro. We were getting banned everywhere, yeah. Right? You guys, we know this. Sure. Okay. But then here comes a guy who says, well, I could, you know, he's the richest man in the world. He doesn't have to play a role, but he takes it upon himself to do something about it and to look into it. Now, again, this is why I say, you know, if we take the isolationist approach, the dystopian future that has been predicted by all the blockbuster movies will come to pass quicker than we think. Or we can, you know, push towards the guys. We need to be involved and we need to find the people who are going to be able to do that so that it is a level playing field. Right. Because, you know, we talk about it as to your point, Tim, ChatGPT has algorithms that have been in place or guardrails that have been put in place so that it doesn't get political, supposedly. But at the same time, it is being manipulated by a human being. There is a future that's coming where AI itself is going to create an AI that doesn't have that human intervention, doesn't have the flavor that humans add and the mistakes that humans make. But then how what does that future look like? And so, you know, the future looks crazy. And it could be the Matrix where all humanity unites to fight the machine. We're sounding crazy here. But this is the future that's coming if we don't get involved. I honestly believe that.
Oh, I mean, this is why I wanted to do a show dedicated to all these different technologies and what's coming about. Because you don't hear about this much on mainstream media. Like you hear about it more on the independent things, you know, like Timcast, Bannon's War Room, you know, Wired and all that. They get into it, but you don't really hear much about it because they're trying to, like, if more people knew what was going on with this, they'd be like, this is crazy. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that I think that this would be the uniter, but they know what is divisive. So that's why mainstream media doesn't really cover this often because they don't want to unite people going, this is crazy, right? But now think about this. Now think about the CRISPR 9. We did a whole show about this. And we're like, oh, that's cool. Like, oh, you can get, you know, if you want your baby to have blue eyes and blonde hair, you know, all that crazy stuff. But I read an article the other day. I couldn't find it, but I saw they were using CRISPR-9 to inject alligator genes into a catfish.
Wow.
Okay. Now think about that. Now you're, you know, in a place where an alligator wouldn't ever exist, you know, in like the Great Lakes of Minnesota, you know, where it's cold and everything. They're messing with, they're messing with the environment now. The people that claim they love the environment, they're playing God. You know what I mean? So it's like if you're testing that, and we know if you're testing it, you're putting it in the wild to see what it does and see how it evolves. You know, and then when they all of a sudden turn around and go, oh shit, there's no more fish in the lakes. You know what I mean? Like, are they I'm trying to understand, are they using some of this technology now to start messing with ecosystems so that they can say, hey, we have shortages of food, we have shortages of this, and they get to usher in their other agenda of
I believe so. I know I'm like a huge whatever.
Conspiracy
but
theorist.
Even right now, I think that's why I honestly believe that, you know, this whole egg shortage, I think it's like for real. I think they did it on purpose. So I go like I've been digging into where I think they even put something on the chicken's feed so they can stop making eggs. Like, for real.
Tucker actually had a whole thing about that. And they were like, oh, yeah, we changed the feed. And all of a sudden, they started laying eggs.
Yeah. So people stopped feeding the chickens the feed and
The shortage of eggs is caused because the chickens are no longer laying eggs or because
it's a twofold problem. It's a twofold problem, right? The avian flu wiped out a lot of chickens, right? And then the government apparently also ordered a lot of chickens to die because they might have had the flu or been around it.
Yeah.
But then chicken farmers were like, hey, our chickens have not been laying eggs. We used to get like 2 a day and then they just stopped. And they were like, what the hell? And they talked to other chicken farmers and they were like, yeah, we're not laying eggs either. So they were like, huh.
And they were like,
let's change the feed. They went from chicken feed to like sheep's feed. And they were like, dude, they started popping the eggs out like it was nothing.
Well,
and everyone's
they've been messing with altering the animal DNA for a while now. I remember reading, I think either it was in New Zealand or one of those island countries. Where the ecosystem is kind of, self-sustained, right? There's nothing influencing it from, you know, outside. There's so much ocean between them. But they had an issue, and I'm going to tell this story so bad, but I remember they had an issue with some animal or some insect. And what they did is they made them infertile, and then guess what? The population of those insects died. But they had a natural enemy that then flourished. And so to address one problem, they created another problem.
Yes.
And so that's the thing to your point, Tim, is that, you know, but when we start messing with things like this, we could really break that ecosystem, the whole world, basically. I mean, things that happen in the deserts of Africa, you know, trickle their way into the rainforests of South America. You know what I mean? And so the world is connected in that sense. And so when we start messing with these things and, you know, for the good of this or for doing that, I think we, to your point, we play God. But unlike God, we are not all knowing. We're going to fuck this shit up. I believe that we will, man. I'm telling
you. That's where diseases come from. That's the love bugs in Florida. That's what happened with the love bugs in Florida, University of Florida. They developed a bug that would mate with mosquitoes to stop mosquitoes from biting and doing what they do, right? So in the process of that, when they genetically engineered the love bug, what happened was the love bugs began to overpopulate and grow, and of course only mated with each other, stopped mating, you know, weren't mating with the mosquitoes anymore. And if you've ever driven through Florida and you see like a black cloud, you drive through a black cloud, those are love bugs. Oh. And like when you come through the black cloud, the front of your vehicle is just splattered. Those are love bugs. They've like overtaken and it just become like this huge.
Yeah. When we were in Florida, I remember we'd drive down the freeways and stuff, and you would always point out the trees that were covered in, was that spider webs?
Oh yeah, I remember.
We saw that too, Tim.
We saw that too. When we saw that. I was like, what the hell is that?
That does that?
I think so.
No, those are. It's like it's actually part of like the mossiness of being.
I thought it was like a big.
Yeah, I thought it was a big spider web or whatever that kind of wrapped the trees in, and the trees die.
Yeah, when you get close enough to it, you see that it's not.
That's interesting. Oh, okay. I had no idea.
I thought it was an insect doing something. But
no, it's like a mossy. It's like a mossy. It's part of.
Okay.
I don't know exactly. I mean, to your point, I don't know exactly what's picking it up and causing that to like grow and take over, but they're not spider webs. Now, you will see like big spider webs with the spiders on them, and they're like banana spiders is what we call them. Mm-hmm. And you pick them up. They're totally harmless, other than just being big. And if you don't know it's there and it comes running across you, it's scary looking. But banana spiders, and they have a tendency of making big webs, but you don't typically know it until, if you don't see the spider on the web, then you don't know the web's there until you're in the web. So that wouldn't have been what you had seen.
But think about that. You know, you talked about
But the love bug
Think about the love bug.
Yeah.
That was years ago. I think it was like decades.
Hold on, they've been doing this
for a long time, but now we're at the point where it's getting so easy to do this. I think that's where
AIDS, cancer, and all those diseases come from. Fuck ups.
But here's the thing. You got to remember, these technologies should be also used for the good of that. You know what I mean? So a lot of these technologies have come from trying to solve these bad problems that, again, are created through bad policies, right?
Well, so see, again, to your point, Tim, I am an advocate for, look, if other countries are going to do it like China and Russia, it's technically a race for the atomic bomb. This is what we're seeing again, right? Everybody's racing to get there. Now, the question is, you know, if the United States hadn't gotten there first, what would we be speaking German right now, right? So I understand the need for it. But my thing is, okay, sure, but there has to be transparency. And if for some reason you need to have secrecy to keep it from our enemies, okay, but you don't have it for, 50, 100 years. Right. So that's my issue with companies like, Pfizer that are being caught, because they are, guys. This is so terrible what they've done. It is that they're getting away with things that nobody agreed to, or that we have an issue. Or if they were transparent about what they were doing, that we would be like, OK, well, at least you're transparent. But, you know, I know when I say that, I'm wishing for
peace on earth.
Yeah, exactly. So, but at the same time, I understand why the United States should probably lead in this, in the advancement of AI and robotics and the future that's coming. Because I think if we don't play a role, we will be left behind. And guess what? China is going to unleash millions of robots. And where the robots aren't, you know, the reason the United States doesn't get invaded, everybody says this, Alexander Dutovic, I don't know who said this, but, you know, America won't be invaded because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. True. But when you throw a billion robots into the mix, I don't care. There's no loss there. You see what I'm saying? So that could quickly be lost. So we, in my opinion, we need to at least have our own robots that will be able to fend off.
I agree. I mean, and part of me agrees with that, where you can't sit there and say, well, we're just not going to deal with this and we're just going to shy away from it. Because, again, I mean, just before I got here, I mean, the Pentagon just said, yeah, China, they were following a Chinese spy balloon over Montana where the nukes are. China launched a balloon that was a spy.
Wow.
That had spy cameras. Yeah.
Wow.
So remember when everybody was like, why are we selling all, why are we allowing Chinese to buy all this land by military bases? Everyone's like, that's nothing. That's conspiracy theory. They're never going to do anything bad. Uh-huh. So when we say we haven't been invaded, we have. Just not through conventional means of boots on the ground. We have been. This country's compromised through the CCP.
I was watching this video of, I'm a big drone. You guys know this. I take my drone everywhere I go. And I saw this new drone that came out. And I think it was DJI who just released it. It's a freaking man-sized drone that could pick up, a full-sized man, right? And this guy is holding on to this drone and it takes him up in the air. And then one of the comments made me laugh because somebody was like, yeah, the prisons are going to have to get rid of their, what is it? When they go play in the yard. Yeah. Yard time. Because imagine somebody just flies that drone and takes somebody off. But I mean, look.
You could do that with a helicopter today if you really wanted to. But
a helicopter is not as agile as a drone, man. and that's the truth. The drone can, the speed of a drone. Whereas as far as a helicopter, you know what I mean? I think it takes a while. You got to throw I don't know. And it's, there's no man. So even if they blow it up, I mean, there's no loss of life there. So anybody can take that risk, right? Freaking take somebody out of prison. Yeah.
Look at Israel. Israel literally just flew drones into Iran and blew up like a bunch of their oil facilities and some of their
underground
arsenals.
Underground nuclear.
They literally, like, legit World War III is going on right now. And that went out. So
one of my daughters today told me her pronoun was IDGAF.
Oh, good. We agree. We all don't give a fuck. But this is the shit that's really going on right now. Not to get too political, but all this shit affects her.
And this is the future she's going to live in. Yeah.
As we're talking about, let me bring this back real quick. As we're talking about AI, ChatGPT, right? How that blew up, right? Ironically, like I was texting Saul right after we did that show. Like the next night, Tim Kess is talking about it. Tucker had a big thing on it. And I'm laughing. Yeah. I'm like, we always have our hand on the pulse of like what's going on. But Microsoft came out and they announced that they are investing a couple billion dollars into ChatGPT, into that company.
Wow. They're going to buy
it out. Here's the deal. When Microsoft gets behind something these days, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, because they already run the whole laptop, you know, the endpoint space, now the cloud space, the server space. So now you're getting into machine learning. If Microsoft really wanted to go back to number one and beat out Google, it's going to be through AI.
This is it.
It's through ChatGPT.
I'm telling you, I talked to all, not all my, but a few of my coworkers.
I started using it at work.
I'm telling you, look, ChatGPT right now, this is the honest truth. So one of our vendors that we use storage arrays from is Dell, right? Okay. I get a better, quicker response from ChatGPT on Dell's own products than from Dell's own website.
Crazy.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. So then think about what that does, right? And whereas today, you know, I have to reach out to support. I got to get somebody on a WebEx. They, you know, I share my screen. This kind of bullshit. No, I don't have to do that anymore. I can freaking just ChatGPT. How do I fix this? Boom, it tells me. And I have used it. You know, right now it gets to the vendors are probably going to have to, if they want to keep those employees, they're going to have to lock down those systems to where, you know, it's going to be password where I can't get in and into the bash and be able to do other things outside of, you know, the regular shell that we use. Right. So, hello. It's going to displace a lot of people. This is why you're seeing a lot of companies right now. They're seeing this and it's going to be exponential. This change by the end of the year, you know, we think that all these layoffs that are happening right now in IT, I saw this. Oh, I might share this video. I saw this Indian girl who was just laid off. I think it from Google, whatever. Did you see her?
I read the article. I mean, I saw the thing. Oh, the headline saying that she felt like she was targeted by the CEO.
No, not this one. No, this is another girl who came out saying that she's not mad about this. Oh, let me actually play it for you guys because this is worth watching because she made a great point about, you know, she could stay mad. She could be mad about this, but what she's going to do is she's going to embrace it because the future that's coming might not necessarily be that bad. So let me play this video for you guys.
So Google says that the story about the love bug being created by a University of Florida is inaccurate.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So I got it here. Heidi's spreading misinformation on the Salty Show.
By your company.
I corrected myself.
What are your thoughts at this point?
I'm feeling very bad. I'm feeling very bad for the HR. Poor folks, they had to go from where? Diversity and inclusion to adversity and expulsion. You know?
She actually makes a great point here about how, and you guys are going to agree with this, all the surveys that we get from work, right, about your engagement survey, you guys know these. And she makes a great point about this, about how a lot of companies have been focusing on that, where in the future that's coming, a lot of the contract between employees and the employer are going to have to change.
A snap. Work from home, work from office, work for somebody else, just like that. And this after all those employee engagement activities to keep employees happy. Forget happy, they couldn't keep employees. They should have focused on keeping employees, no? This happy happiness is not their KRA, it is nobody's KRA. It comes from within and not from, we have 6 types of tea and 4 types of coffee, 3 types of water in our pantry. Some of the folks they laid off were so new, they didn't get a chance to taste the 6 types of tea. And the company is wanting to be families. We are not a company. We are a family. Why? Who started this confusion between hiring and adoption? You did not adopt me. You hired me. Awards and recognition and appreciation. Real families just take each other for granted. But don't let go of each other. And this company gave away long service awards people who have given 20, 25 years of excellence for companies' continued success. A week later, they did not have access to the company's network. Or at the company offsite, we celebrated the company tripling its revenue in a year. What happened a month later? We are so poor. Who robbed us? But while it lasted, the company was a huge part of my life. Huh? Huge. Other than my government ID proofs, company name is everywhere. T-shirt, bag, water bottle, pen, notebook, cap, coffee mug, mask, weekends, everywhere, company name. It is easier. It was easier to forget my ex than it is to forget this company now. Next job, I'm going to bluntly say no to any company merchandise. Only package, no baggage.
You don't seem to be worried about your career. You seem really calm.
This is the point right here. This
I am calm because I am a techie. And techies are calm because they know they will always have calm. Calm as in work. See, it's like you fire the cook from the restaurant. No problem. The cook can fire her kitchen, her cloud kitchen, anywhere now. Techies are cooks. We are agile. As long as there are apps and appetite, cooks and techies will have calm. We are the calm.
So you're not worried about ChatGPT taking your job then?
You have to stop saying this. You sound like that guy when the calculators were invented. Oh, calculators are here. They're going to steal jobs. Whose jobs? Those guys who can only add and subtract. Oh, even if ChatGPT can take away our jobs, it'll have to get in line behind geopolitics and pandemic and investors and shareholders. I lost my job because the investors of the company were not sure their investment will become 400x in the coming year. How will we go to Mars? Someone else lost job because the investors thought, if the other company can lay off 12k people and still work as usual, shouldn't we also try? Artificial intelligence can never overtake human paranoia and human curiosity. AI can only do what human beings have been doing. Only humans can do what no human has ever done before.
Interesting point.
Have 24,000 people been laid off in a year ever before?
Yes.
Don't blame technology. Yesterday's postman is today's delivery executive. Yesterday's sysadmin is today's cloud engineer. ChatGPT is not eating into our jobs. ChatGPT has already made a meal out of my 4-year engineering course.
Yes.
Universities will have to do a course correction. Exactly. Pun intended. What is there to be taught after all memorizing has been outsourced to the robot?
Boom, that's the point right there.
Creativity and how to use ChatGPT, the only engineering course.
What do you think should change about employment and hiring?
Oh, a lot, no? But let's start with making HR round the first round of the interview process. Don't ask me why I want to join your company. Tell me, do you know why you're hiring? And that YouTube ad that starts with, hey, is it your dream to join manga funga companies? That needs to be edited because we are no longer going to say dream and company in the same sentence.
I love it.
I'm not going to make that blunder. I don't want to be your employee. I just want to be your vendor. Hashtag open for work.
I love the point that she made, but yeah. she does bring up an important point here, which is, again, there's a scare, and this is happening all over. You know, again, ChatGPT is just blowing up, guys. And it is a lot. What she said is that memorizing and doing all this stuff, those days are long and gone, and they have been gone for a while, right? Before, you would have to go to a library, memorize something. Now it's just Google. Any tech person that I know, and I tell him, hey, can you do this? Oh yeah, let me Google that. We've all known this. Yeah. This is so true. ChatGPT is just an extension of that, and it's exponential. And she does make a point, and the point is that we're all going to have to become experts in this. We're going to have to adapt or die. People being laid off is not new. This has happened over and over again. When they created the car, people who drove horse and buggies, you know what I mean? Like, they were out of work, right? But technology evolves and people evolve along with it. I don't think it's the end, but the dystopian future that I talk about, if we don't get involved, if we don't shape it, if we don't guide it, that dystopian future will come.
So here, this is where I agree to a certain extent, but in a minute, we're going to, you know, switch gears and I look at some other videos from Boston Dynamics. If you start mixing AI learning with robots, now you got a completely different story because you're putting the intelligence in the machine.
Yeah.
And the machine is asking ChatGPT, how do I do this? Oh, and now the robot just goes in front of a computer and just types that same command that you would. See what I'm saying?
No, to your point, I was having a conversation with somebody earlier today, and I said, think about, and I alluded to this in a few episodes ago. Imagine right now, for example, if I have a conversation with somebody, and if it's through text, I can use ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT what would be the best response, right? And ChatGPT can guess, right? And say, what would be the best response to this question if I'm trying to woo a girl? ChatGPT can guess. However, to your point, Tim, that technology is going to converge, whether it's robotics, where it's bioengineering, that all that technology is eventually going to converge. Now imagine a future where all your data, because somebody mentioned it here, where COVID has harvested your data, your DNA, all your history, all your social media, and it knows about you. And then I ask the question, what would be the best response to woo this girl who you know everything about, AI? And that AI is going to give me that response, and it's going to give it to me immediately. So then the question becomes, am I engaging in this person, and is this person talking to me, or is the AI influencing how he's responding? Do you see the future that's coming? This is scary. It is scary, guys.
Raj Gupta-Pali.
Gupta-Pali, yeah.
Thank you from The Big Bang. Remember when he falls in love with Siri? And he,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he goes to see her in the room, and there you go.
So you got to remember, when all these technologies first came out years ago and everybody was like, oh, this is great, and oh, Siri. I mean, we've used Siri's on our road trips where I change it to like an Australian accent. I'm like, oh, she's sexy, right? In a quarter mile. Right.
Yeah.
But think about how it started. It started with like these Siris and whatever Google's version is and Cortana. And now look at where we've evolved to. Right. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, Microsoft did a big investment in ChatGPT a couple weeks. They announced it a couple weeks ago. Right. BuzzFeed journalists, all that stuff. They're using AI to replace their journalists. Let's scroll down on that website, Saul, and click on cut two with Satya.
And it seems when we look at the fourth industrial revolution that now in technological development, when you look at the S-curve, we are really at the point where we have the exponential development.
Are we on the S-curve? I sort of think about it as there's one S-curve where we are at the tip, where it's now about deployment, diffusion, mainstream. You know, take what Unilever has done with their lights out manufacturing with digital twins. Mm-hmm. It was great during the pandemic as a way to do manufacturing remotely. But more importantly, in silico, they're able to simulate and reduce energy cost, water wastage, and other wastage. And then we now have essentially an emergence of a completely new set of technology, which I think is going to be a revolutionary.
I think we all feel it will be a revolution, but there is a certain fear, particularly about artificial intelligence. People feel it dehumanizes us and so on. Now, what steps do we need actually to make sure that those technologies, particularly artificial intelligence, remain society-oriented and human-centered?
Things we think a lot about is how to deploy this technology to empower human beings to do more. The internet maybe took 30 years, maybe the cloud and mobile took 15 years, and now I think we're talking months. We think of both the unintended consequences and the benefits both being something that we harness.
So you feel that GPT and similar technology will become very fast, penetrating our lives, business lives, but also personal lives.
We all remember in 2007, 2008, so that was the last time I would say we had major platforms being born, right? The mobile platform and the cloud platform. And, you know, in the last 15 years, they've gone mainstream. I think that the AI piece and this particular generation of AI is showing that type of, I would say, platform shift. We started the work with OpenAI, I would say, 3.5 years ago, when we started building the AI supercomputer in Azure to train these large models. And when you look at GPT-3 to 3.5 to what's coming, these are non-linear developments. So they're showing emergent capability. The fact is that these things by themselves are becoming platforms that I think truly can make a difference.
Wow.
Emergence from 3 to 3.5. It's evolving. Think about that.
That is creepy.
It's creepy.
That is so creepy.
But think about it, right? Again, the company that is in a lot of trouble right now is Google. Because everybody, like you said, we all Google stuff, right? Everybody Google stuff. Like, hey, go on Google and just find me a recipe. Find me how to fix a car.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to now you just say, hey, ChatGPT, how do you replace the gasket on an F-150?
Model, year.
Pop, done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through YouTube videos.
You can tell it. Give me step by step.
Yeah.
And it'll do it.
And it does the crawling for you.
That's wild, man.
So think about that. Your recipes. ChatGPT, give me a recipe for broccoli casserole. Okay. Yeah,
I'm telling you, Google is dead. The era of Google and going and finding a bunch of websites, it's going to be dead. And like he said right now, before, you know, when for the internet to take a hold, it took 30 years, the cloud 15 years. They're talking about now this is going to be in months.
Months.
People mm-hmm. are, and this is what I don't think we understand. If you're not using ChatGPT right now, you need to jump on this, because to the girl, the Indian girl who was talking, she said, we're going to become ChatGPT experts. Because even right now, like you go to YouTube, there are people who are figuring out how to even ask questions that are going to give you the best answer. I was watching this guy on one of his channels. He said he was showing how to have ChatGPT give you the best answer for a question. And so what he would tell it is, he would say, you're an expert software developer for 20 years working for this company. Give me advice on how to build this whatever application or whatever. This thing wrote it out. And then it gave him like an overview, right? And then he asked it individually, okay, show me how to do this step by step. This thing told, it was showing, he was showing it. He was like step by step on how to do it. Any question that you have. And so anybody that I interact with today, and like, I'm like, have you heard of ChatGPT? Get on that, learn it, learn how to use it. Because again, if you're using Google to search for anything and figure out how to do something, get on ChatGPT, because it's the wave of the future. And like everything else, if you're not adapting to it quickly, you to me.
No, I was letting you finish, because as you were saying that, just yesterday I was laughing, because I was like, I was on Microsoft site, I was writing a PowerShell script, and it was trying to capture all these print settings and everything. And I was like, Microsoft had a script, copied it, put it in. Error. I'm like, God damn it. I go to ChatGPT. I put in, hey, it gave me a PowerShell script, but in a completely different format. I'm like, fuckers.
And it explains it line by line. It did comments.
And it worked.
Yes.
But here's the thing. It worked. But now I took Microsoft script. I copied it into ChatGPT and it broke it down. And it said, oh, yo, this is a great command. It broke it down. That, oh, yeah, this is right. And explained the whole thing. But it did not work in PowerShell. Microsoft's own script that they posted on their website did not work on my machine. And it's a brand new Windows 11 machine. Latest PowerShell, everything.
Again,
the one crazy they gave me worked flawlessly. I was like, this is crazy, dude.
Again, what I would say is it's just growing exponentially. By the end of the year, I think the people are going to be like, instead of saying, did you Google it? Or maybe in a year or two, did you ChatGPT it or whatever unless Google adapts, unless Google rolls it out, you know, remember Yahoo, people would be like, oh, Yahoo died very quickly.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Jeremy's falling asleep. Did Jeremy sleep?
No, I'm here.
Hey, Jeremy's had a lot of alcohol.
Oh, since no.
What?
I'm just playing.
I'm not.
So yeah, Jeremy, you're a handy guy. You're a techie like all of us, like how the video said.
Tacky.
Like, how do you feel? Because you've been kind of quiet on all this. How do you feel about AI and the robots taking over? Like, how do you feel incorporating this into your life? Because I know you have more of that survivalist mentality, you know, about some of the purchases you make and the way you think. I'm not going to put all your business out there.
I think I need to buy a much larger caliber of gun so that when the robots take over the world, I have something that'll stop them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Man, all here right. we go.
I don't even know what shotguns will do. You need something bigger.
A segue into that. Okay. Actually, you know what? Let's go to...
Oh, did you see the yoga class?
Wait, hold on. Wait, before... before
with the robots?
Like, we're going to skip that one real quick, Saul, because based on Jeremy's comment, let's go to the last one I put in the chat. Yeah, this one. Okay. As Jeremy's talking about, I need to have a better, bigger caliber gun to fight off the robots. This is Boston Dynamics, because we did a whole thing on this a year and a half ago. About what they were doing at MIT with Boston Dynamics with the robots and how they went out and they were doing flips and just basic things. Oh, this shit has evolved, dude. Check this out. Look at what these robots are doing now.
American Ninja Warrior shit.
Wow.
Yeah. And we can't see it because it's... Buffering.
This is scary.
It's so creepy.
It's doing a full obstacle course.
Yeah. Oh my god. I'm freaking out, guys.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
This is your gymnastics. I mean, these things can balance themselves without falling.
With a freaking 100-pound bag behind it.
Yep.
Look how it freaking jumps.
Or maybe even more.
Oh my god.
And it won't get tired. Maybe run out of battery. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. And it brushes its shoulder. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, put a machine gun on them.
Yeah.
And you go up to them, and they say, sir, you are put your mask on. And you say, fuck you. Guess what? I'm just saying.
If we have gotten this far with the stuff like this,
they're breakdancing.
I wouldn't be surprised if like fucking China has like already like
exactly
fucking army. The freaking Will Smith movie.
Yeah. No. So in China, they in their rail system, I forget which province, but they have and it's here in America too, by the way. In some of the airports, they do have robots that do facial recognition and everything. But in China, in Texas, actually, which is weird because the most conservative state apparently has these robots in their airports. But in China, they do have robots in, you know, monitoring their rail systems and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, hey, welcome, blah, blah, blah. But it's got a camera on it. So it can now, if you're a criminal or if you're, wanted or something like that, if you're a suspect, they got your face and they go, stop now. And they alert the actual physical police in there to come and arrest you. Because it's police state.
Yeah.
Like I said, if I'm pretty sure China and fucking probably
Middle
Israel
East.
Too army of robots.
Mm-hmm. So do
then
we?
I'm okay. Then I'm okay with us doing the same thing because we're going to need something too.
You have to.
Yeah.
You saw those guys running an obstacle course.
I doubt we're going to use it for anything good because that's just not what we do. You know, we don't do things to do something good out of it. And like I said, that's why we have all these fucking diseases because we try to be.
Think about this, guys. Think about this. What are they allowing to happen in every major city right now? Crime is out of control. Mm-hmm. And eventually, what have we learned over the what we've seen in the last 6 years? The establishment, because I'm not even going to say the Democrat, because the Rhino, the Uniparty, the elites, the one people that run this country, what do they all have in common? They create problems, right? They allow these problems to happen, but they already got the solution. They're already 5 steps ahead of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
This is why you're starting to see things drip in. What are they going to do? Oh, we want federal police. No. We can't federalize police. Okay. We're going to do the police dogs. We're going to have robot police because you know what? They can sit there and monitor all the subways in New York City and Chicago and everything to secure them because we can't hire people to be cops because nobody wants to be a cop because of racism and this, that. Now you give it to a robot because people are like, dude, we're dying on the subways. We can't do this. So we start putting robots in there to police it. Oh, they're not going to be racist and everything. Bullshit. They're going to look at somebody and be like, boom. That's why they got rid of the robots going in the crack houses.
Look.
I mean, the projects, because they were sniffing out all the people with drugs.
There is a...
I kind of like this idea.
Obviously, every time that there's been an advent of a tool or a weapon, humans have treaded lightly, but I think our country addressed that, right? It's been the great equalizer. There's a reason why the Second Amendment exists, and it's been the great equalizer. It has maintained tyrants at bay. And so then, is this just the next step, right? Because if the government has robots that are able to do this kind of stuff, and to your point, Tim, basically make, I mean, any weapon, you know, if this thing is protected by whatever, you know, if it can do flips like that, carrying all that weight, you know, I'm sure they can put armor on it that's going to basically make it impenetrable to a you know, regular weapon. So then the question
there
becomes,
is video out there, but there is a video out there.
The point I want to make is that eventually I think what will have to happen is that this will have to be open source, right? And anybody mm-hmm. should be able to build this, build an AI that will protect it from that. And so again, right. I see the point is we cannot stop that train. It's left the station. This is full steam ahead.
Oh yeah.
What can we do, I think, as a society, and laws are eventually going to have to be put in place that, hey, guess what? Sure, you can have your own robot, but at a certain point, this should be able to be obtained by the public, and to where we can at least build our own to have a defense against tyrannical government.
So, and that's the point. They are moving so fast with this. This is Moore's Law, right? Like, you remember Moore's, like, technology doubles every couple of years. No,
yeah, and the number of transistors double every 18 months.
Really. But now we're looking at the transistors. Moore's Law, this is Moore's Law, like, on steroids, because AI is evolving every day. Congress, our government is so bloated and so divided at every level, they can't agree on any of this. So AI is eventually going to take over your government, because you can't elect these officials, and you're going to leave it up to AI to make a decision for the public. That's where we're going. This is what people need to understand, is that eventually all of this is part of, this is not part, dude, this is part of, when we talk about, you know, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, you know, New World Order and everything, what do you think is running the New World Order? It ain't people. It's this. Because you can't corrupt the AI. You can't corrupt the AI because the AI is going to learn.
Yeah, you can. Look at ChatGPT.
Yeah. It's going to learn the corruption of what you...
Right, but you can't stop it because it's going to be involved in everything. Your fridges, everything. Every piece of technology that we have is going to be ran by. It's truly going to be fucking iRobot. I'm committed.
Exactly. Okay. So remember in that movie, the reason the Will Smith character hated it was because the robot intervened in him being able to make a choice. The robot calculated and said, look, the odds of saving this person outside of this person. And so the robot chose for him who it was going to save. And Will Smith would have preferred, the Will Smith character would have preferred that it saved somebody else. I think that's how it went, right? And that's
the
why
girl. He saved the girl, and he's
a
like
child. He jumps in the water to save a
and
child.
So that's what he. So then that's the question, right? That, and to the point that the Indian girl made, is that the robots can think from that perspective, right? And I don't think I think it'll be an algorithm that just calculates, because robots are not going to have a soul. And so then it'll say what's better. Who should I save, right? And so then it's a moral question. But to your point, I think the movie Bicentennial Man, was it that guy who it was a robot and eventually he became sentient?
Robin Williams.
And then people were like, okay, well, does it have rights or does it not? That future is coming, guys. And to your point, Tim, I don't think we're ready for it. There's no laws for it. A robot that acts on your behalf, that commits a crime, who's liable? Is it you, the company who sold it to you? Those are questions that are going to be fought in courts in the future that I... Mm-hmm.
That's why I say the world is... I don't even want to say this country. The world is so divided in every aspect. They can't even agree that we got to stop this. Or not stop it. I don't want to say stop. That's a bad word, because it's never going to stop. But to regulated or legislated or put some put some guidelines behind it, because you're essentially saying, hey, Microsoft, Google, you guys are God now. You guys are the government. You guys are above everybody, because they're going to say, well, fuck you. I got all the technology. I could, hey, build me a nuke. Yeah. Okay, this is step by step. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask everybody here. I'm just curious to know where you guys stand on it. Like, do we let it happen? Do we intervene? What should we do?
Well, I think at this point,
let it happen.
You can't. I don't even think you could stop it if you wanted to, right? There's mm-hmm. always going to be somebody, even if the world got together and decided, oh, we're going to make this illegal, there's still going to be people that do it illegally, right?
Right.
You're not going to stop it, which is scary in itself, but.
Yeah, because we're all for, you know, don't let the government, you know, get involved in the shit we want to do, right? So just let it be. Let it be. It. I'm sure everybody out there is doing probably even faster than what we're doing, so we're gonna need it anyways.
But then I think about, like, right now we have like I have freaking machines that freaking mop and vacuum here. But then, you know what I mean? Like, imagine a future that's coming, because the days of going and getting on a lawnmower, doing all grocery shopping, we're gonna have machines that are gonna do this. They're gonna do this for us. And then I look at a future like the movie WALL-E, right? The animated cartoon, where you have the people who are basically fat because they don't do anything, and they're just sitting in a chair and they're like obese. Is that future coming for us, or is it going to liberate us to be able to pursue our, you know, you talk about like the utopian dream of every liberal. Are we now going to be able to pursue our dream, our art, or whatever, you know, that we want to do? Are machines going to do that for us?
I sent you that photo. There was a photo that AI generated of the most beautiful women. But here's the deal. You would have never known. You don't know. Now it's to the point. You don't know if it's real or fake. And this is where we're getting at. Right?
I mean, I thought that was Tinder. We never knew.
But now these people are going to go on AI. They're going to go, hey, create me a profile picture. Right. And they're going to create some freaking photo that makes you look like a goddess. And then when they show up, you're going to be like, catfish. It's not even going to be catfish. It's going to be like,
I know we're all over the place, but I think even that future where, I see the end of cosmetics coming, because, eventually you're going to be able to mold your face and put it in a position where you don't even know. And it's like, that's a crazy scary future, man. Completely change
your entire face. Yeah.
I want to play one more video so that we can close this out. Because as we talk about the future and where we're going and how do we deal with this? Oh, you were on the right one with Spot. So go back to Spot. So this is the problem, right? This is the thing that a lot of people need to understand. Right now, we have a lot of unions out there. We have a lot of bureaucracy. And for companies to fully get rid of unions and break the unions and really put people on their ass, they're going to go to robotics to replace humans. And there's nothing in a contract that says you can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's my company. If I don't want to pay you anymore and I say, you know what, you cost me $100 million between your pension, your insurance and everything else, I'm going to replace these bullshit jobs with robots. And again, Boston Dynamic, they have all these robots to do these different jobs. And Spot is a robot that goes around and he does these, I don't want to say grunt level tasks, but basically grunt level tasks. Play the video. Let's see what Spot can do.
It can work. Doing site inspections. Wow.
At least he does. There's a lot of people that
he's
don't
not
want
worried about when the clock strikes 5 o'clock.
Construction.
He works all around.
Mining.
What did I just say? I bet he's not worried about 5 o'clock in the evening.
Oil, gas. Look at this.
I want one.
I'm in. Laundry.
Right?
Thermal inspections, gouge reading.
Oh my gosh. Cooking dinner and cleaning the kitchen up afterwards.
But think about all these jobs that people get paid a lot of money to do because they're so specialized. You have to do special training, EPA training. You just programmed it all into a robot. Done. You just replaced 40,000 jobs right there with a couple robots.
I
That works all year round.
Nobody, first of all, nobody wants to fucking work anymore, period.
There you go. What?
Nobody wants to fucking work.
Jules, think about what you just said.
Bring in a fucking robot.
Right.
That's okay.
That's the whole point of this.
But
think about what you said.
Yeah, nobody I get it.
Why does nobody want to work anymore?
Because the government has made it that way for you to stay home and at work.
Because they locked you down, gave you a check, and you go, fuck, I got to stay home for a year and a half, make all this money off the government. I don't got to work. But companies like, shit, I need employees. I can't. I got to look at option B. So what did they do? They created the problem, but they also had the solution. But the solution doesn't make it better. I mean, as a business owner, like somebody like you that owns your own business, if you could sit there and get a couple of robots to sit there and sell insurance,
at
the end of the day, it's not the company or the robot or the government. It's your responsibility to go out there and get a fucking check, period. So if you don't want to do that, there's going to come a time where the government is going to stop giving you fucking free money and you're not going to have anything to eat. So guess what? You're going to go look for a job. But the robots are going to be there, so you're asked out. Then you're dead. That's it.
Think about this. Well, what did everybody do real quick? Everybody voted for minimum wage increases, right? I want to make more money and blah, blah, blah. What did we all say was going to happen with minimum wage? Inflation's going to kick in. Prices are going to go up because eventually the consumer always winds up paying for all this, right? But now, if I'm like McDonald's and I'm like, wait, I got to pay $20 an hour to some cook. I mean, to some cashier or something like that.
We'll have a burgers done right.
Here's the deal. What do they start doing? We're going to look to automate these jobs.
They've already started doing that.
And now they're saying, now they're going, oh my God, this is, I can't believe companies are doing this. This is white supremacy and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. Y'all fucking fought for minimum wage. You know, you're using all these things to say it's bad. It's this. No. A job at McDonald's was never meant for a 30-year-old person to make a career off of. So I'm going to automate these jobs now. Now it screws the kids that used to get those jobs to get work experience. So now you're living off your parents even longer because you got no money. But now the parents' job, this has got such a downward spiral that it's just every little cog in the wheel has its purpose. And we're seeing the final.
Let's think about this because. So right now, if I develop a program that does the work for me, right, or that generates income for me, where I don't even have to, like think about a movie star, right? Creates one movie and it goes big, and then he gets royalties from it, and it continues, whatever. He continues generating money from it. Technically, he could retire and not do anything. The product is generating the money for him, right? I mean, am I thinking logically here?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then that person technically is not necessarily working. He already did the effort and his product is generating money for him. So then the question becomes, could we potentially reach a future where AI robotic systems do the work for us, where technically we don't necessarily have to work? Because think Stone Age, right? To survive, you had to go hunt, you had to build a home, maintain it. Well, let's put robots in that scenario. That caveman or whoever, that ancient person, technically is not necessarily working. There's a machine that's making this for him. Could we potentially reach a future where that's the case, where machines are doing everything for us and we're just living out our lives? And what does that future look like? And is it going to make us lazy? Is it going to make, because let's say the apocalypse doesn't hit and robots don't become, you know, self-aware and all that. And a future where they do everything. What will humanity do? What will humans do in that case? And I'm thinking more like Star Trek things.
No, they'll die. They'll die off.
I don't think so. Like
I'm just basing it off of, if you see what all these crazy people are talking.
I know exactly what you're saying, but let's think of a future where again, like I said, that dystopian future where it doesn't happen, but a future where humans are living alongside robots. Robots are doing everything for humanity. to your point, I believe human nature will always be, there will always be evil among us, and there will always be somebody who's going to use a robot to kill, to do evil things.
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about the robots to kill. I'm just saying the depopulation. I mean, what you're looking at is, because a robot, you won't own the robot to go to work for you. That robot, the company's going to be like, oh, you're going to do all the work, and you're going to be sitting at home going, what the fuck do I do? But they need to make sure, and this is the other thing they need to make sure of. You have to make sure there's a good amount of people left that can actually buy goods and services. So you still need jobs for those people, right? Because a company's goal is to make as much money as possible. But if you take away all their consumers, who's left to buy stuff?
So again, I know this might be a little bit more deeper conversation than maybe we should get into. But my point, my question was, because to your point, Tim, but that's like the currency was created as a way to replace barter, and we bartered because, you know what I mean? Like you can create a table and I can build a hammer and let's change whatever, right? So that system evolved into the currency system and the current system that we live in. Okay, but and so to your point, the consumers, the companies that will need a consumer, but let's think of a future where that doesn't exist, right? Because you're no longer... that was a bartering system. Now we have robots that do this for us. Even the robots repair themselves. They create themselves, and they're handling all that we need. They're building our homes. They're doing everything for us. Could humanity, I know this is a long question, but imagine a future like that, right? I know it's utopian and it's probably like liberal thinking.
It'd be great. Can you imagine having a robot where you could your car breaks down, right? You'd be like, can you go fix my car?
Or the robot drives you. Yeah. I mean, it's not like... And it's
well, I don't know if that's a future.
You don't
possible.
Even need a robot.
I'm all for it.
The car's programmed to drive by itself with the autopilot. You pay 10 grand for it, and it's constantly getting updated.
Yeah. I think we'll destroy ourselves before that future comes.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest with you,
we'll kill each other first.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the first goal. Right. They want humans. They want enough humans to either die off naturally, die off through injection, or die off through war. Right. And this is why you're seeing the escalate. No logical thing in person goes, you know, it's a good idea. Let's send 31 Abram tanks to the Ukraine to fight Russia. That shows an act of aggression towards Russia, who has nuclear weapons. That's already said. That goes, if they keep escalating, the only way this is going to end is through nuclear war. So you're kind of seeing like the writing on, they're telling you what they're going to do. So that's why I'm like, just drop them already. Like at some point,
because survival of the fittest.
Right. So eventually, right. But this is like, where I'm saying is you're seeing it's all calculated. They're telling you what's going to happen. And people, oh, that's never going to happen. They would never. Bro, we're at the biggest. We're at the pinnacle of all this, right? You're seeing the volcano is about to erupt. And when this,
that's when you this shit get right with Jesus. Burst,
exactly. When this shit bursts, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what's behind door number three, but I'll tell you this. It ain't good. Let's be real. This is not good.
But I think it's a cycle, right? We've been here before. There were people who
I don't think
here
we've ever
where
been to
we
this
were.
Level. I don't think we've ever been to this level. Because here's the deal. Every war, right? Let's think about this. Since World War II, every escalation, everything, this country's got more and more divided over all this, right? Mm-hmm. So like Republicans used to be like the people that love war. Oh, we got to go to Iraq, blah, blah, blah. Liberals like, no. And now when
you imagine what they thought back in the day when like race was race, you know,
right? World War II, everybody said, we got to go kill that motherfucker. We got to send our best and we got to go liberate the fucking world from fucking Hitler and the Japanese. Okay. Because we got attacked and we had American pride. Now this country can't even agree whether we should be in Ukraine. You got most Republicans like, no. And people are like, what? You guys love war? No. We should be building this country. And you got the liberals. You got all these liberal fucks going, oh, yeah, that don't even know what the fuck this war is even about. Going, Putin's evil. We got to go. He caused this country so many problems by stealing elections. And it's all been bullshit. and they still believe it.
I'm with Jules here. I think it's a good call. Guys, we had a civil war. The country went to war against itself. We want to say we haven't been divided. Yeah, we have. We freaking killed each other.
Can you imagine what they were thinking back then? They would have been. They were like, "Fuck!" Like exactly what we're saying right now. They were saying it 100% worse because it was legit a thing back then.
I think we're deviating from the subject a little bit, and we've kind of gone past. So I think let's close it out. Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining this lively discussion of the Salty Show.
I'm getting a robot.
Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
Peace out.
See ya. Man vs. Machine. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Salty Show.com.